Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
So today, what I want to call today's sermon is engage. And I'm going to actually, as I'm talking about engage, I'm going to come from the opposite of engage, and that's apathy. I mean, if we had an opposite word here, I would call apathy that. Over the last few weeks, as I've been talking about being a spectator in church, we've got to get rid of that and be a participant. Had a lot of people signing up for different things, and I appreciate that. And as we finished that up last week, I felt it very important to share this area of concern with our church, that we have to move out of being a spectator, but we can't just move into being a participant. We have to move into being an engaged participant. See, that it's great that you signed up and said, I want to be a part of that team. But let me just tell you, Satan has a tool in his arsenal of weapons that he's been making really good use of in the church. And it's at an all-time high in the church, and that tool is the spirit of apathy. And we've got to be able to engage, but when you're dealing with apathy, it's hard to engage. You might be saying, that's a big word. What's that mean? Well, let me just define it. It says, apathy is a lack of interest or concern, especially regarding matters of importance. It's a lack of emotion or a lack of feeling towards something that should be important. That's what apathy is. Now, after being a pastor now for 14 years next month, that's a long time. I wrote that down and then I didn't say it out loud, and it's kind of weird to say it out loud. 14 years pastoring this church, I want to tell you it's been a great experience watching lives changed. I can't tell you how privileged the call upon our life we view is. I mean, we live a privileged life to watch that. But as much as I can talk from the glass being half full, because I like to look at life that way, let me tell you the other side of that. It's been heartbreaking. And as I was praying this morning, God just broke my heart, because it has been, thinking about it, seeing marriages that have been torn apart here, kids' lives going down the drain after their parents have let their lives go down the drain. We have strayed so far from what the Bible calls church. What we're living right now is no different than what they were facing in Scripture and Paul was addressing. But if we can go back to the actual church in that day and age, what they did as a church was totally different than what we do as a church. We treat the church like it's just another area of our lives. Come on. Just another thing that's involved. But in Revelation, when Jesus was speaking to the churches, five out of the seven churches, he was saying, you better repent, you better repent, you better repent, or else. Come on, something needs to change. We need to get to a place where we start taking, come on, the Christian life serious. We've got to get to that place. Listening yesterday to a preacher who was talking about his passion, he said something, and I can't get it out of my head. He said, it's like my wife is in the hospital in ICU, and I went out golfing. Something should be wrong with that. And you can see that when you're looking at a marriage relationship. I mean, your wife's in ICU and you're out golfing. We got to get to an understanding when we're talking about the church. And I thought this was a great illustration. See, we're talking about the bride of Jesus, the church. And you would expect me to be by my wife's side if she was in ICU. Anybody looking at my life would say that's what you need to do. Anybody looking at your life, you're married, that's where you would expect you to be. And they would expect you to be saying to the doctor, is there anything I can do? Can I give anything of myself to help her? Can I do anything? What can be done, doctor? What can be done to help? That needs to be our attitude to the church. People see the church as unhealthy and then they just leave. It breaks my heart. They're not showing up and getting the church well. They're just saying, I'm done. The Bible's very clear that Jesus is going to return one day. And the more I read, the more I'm looking for that to be very soon. We cannot go about life and not care about his bride. When he returns, I want him to find me giving everything that I've got to see the church healthy. Just like if I'm married, if you're married, it would be expected for you to be in the ICU if the church was hurting. As I'm going and ministering to different churches across this country, you've got to know that that's my heart. That's my plea. We got to get the church healthy. We got to get the church some health. Whatever it takes, we got to do it. We got to get rid of the spirit of apathy towards the church and start treating her as sacred again. And running to, it's not just another area of our lives. This is the church. And we said we're apart. Are you really? Or are you out playing golf while the church is hurting? Come on, the church has got, we've got a responsibility. Apathy is a problem in so many areas of life. And people, they sometimes don't even realize that some of the problems that they're facing today is a direct result of apathy yesterday. I mean, they just don't care anymore unless it directly affects their comfort zone. That's why when people are hurting, a lot of times if they've got any understanding of God, they run to the church. I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're going to. Well, they know where the answer is. They've just been living apathetic and they've said, I don't really want to deal with that. I'm not really concerned. Why? Because you're part of the unhealthy. Come on. You're part of the unhealthy that's causing the church not to be what it needs to be. There's not many things that are more destructive than the spirit of apathy. It causes depression. It stifles our creativity. It stunts our spiritual growth. It drains our energy. And it can take hold in every area of life where we allow it to grow. And it completely can, if allowed, immobilize us. Have I got everybody's attention? The fall of man is a direct result of apathy. They lost their engagement with God. They lost being engaged. Genesis 3, however you look at it, did she not have a spirit of apathy towards what God said? She obviously just quit caring, said, I don't care. Lack of interest, lack of concern in a matter that should have been important. And all of us men can go, yep, and it was all her fault. Until it came to you, and you obviously had no concern either because you jumped right in. See, the matter of importance was not where it needed to be. And you can blame it on Eve if you want, but both had a lack of concern for what God said. Are we not today at a place where the church has lost what God said? And sometimes it's because they don't know, but most of the time it's because they don't care. I don't really care what God said. Now, you would never say that out loud, but our lives in the American church has screamed that. Those who call themselves Christians can be the most difficult people in the world to motivate. I can motivate you real quick in a lot of other areas than I can in the Spirit of God. I am not talking to everyone. I'm talking about what I see in the church. Obviously, there are those that say, I'm engaged. I'm all in. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about that for the most part, what I have seen when I look at my glasses half full, what hurts me is a bunch of people who are self-absorbed and they're not God-absorbed. Just like that. You can turn that whole thing around by just saying, okay, it's not about me anymore. It's about him. Just like that. just got to engage. You got to engage. The other side was motivated to remove God from our public schools in the 1960s. Then in the 1970s, we legalized the killing of innocent unborn babies at an all-time high. They normalized homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle in the 1980s. They started providing equal marriage benefits for those who embraced that lifestyle in the 1990s. And then through the 2000s, there's been an attempt to ban the words under God and have the Ten Commandments outlawed in 2003. There's been a continual attempt to advocate the LGBTQ community, and we are legalizing marijuana right now in several states, and we're griping about the drug problem in America. Really? Yep, that's exactly what's happening. Why? Because Christians have become apathetic. Christians have been just largely indifferent. They've been unconcerned. It's like we don't even care what's going on. The United States is such a fertile mission field that missionaries from other countries are now sending their people here to reach the lost in America. When we used to be the number one missionary sending country. It has been estimated, now listen close here, that if only 10% of all those Americans who call themselves Christians tithe regularly to God's work, only 10% that say they're Christian would tithe regularly to God's work, we could eliminate 100% of all the hunger and health problems in the world. That tells you what's tithing, who's tithing, who's given to the work of God. Surely 10% of all Christians in America could be found faithful. Nope. It's time for the Christians to engage and do something different than what's been being done. What's being done and what has been done is not working, and we've got to engage. We've got to get rid of this spirit of apathy. And I'm just saying, I'm sad that it's happened. But I'm ready to do something, and I pray that today, just me starting that out and telling you where my heart is, that maybe we could start seeing it in our little part of the world, something really turned around. And I'm talking about not just signing up on the back wall for a team. That's the least, but then saying, no, I'm not going to sign up and then not engage. I'm going to sign up, and you can tell I'm going to be a key player in this, on this team. Transforming apathy to a place where we decide to engage is very important. Turn to Acts 20, scripture that God led me to today. Engage means to be a part of, to give attention to give you focus, to give your focus to be a part of, to give attention to give your focus to. I really believe we've got some people this morning that are saying, I'm engaged, I'm here, I'm ready to hear what God has. I pray that it goes past this sermon and that it becomes a whole transformation for your life. Here we have a man who is very uncomfortable. And I'm going to read about it in a moment, but if you'll just think of this illustration after you get there and before we read. A man being uncomfortable about his spiritual life, he believes in God, he attends church regularly, he gives an offering, but he still feels emptiness and confusion. He sat in his seat until the preacher said he was done. And yet he could almost fall asleep in the preacher's message. He prays and asks God for many things, but wasn't even sure if his prayers were heard. He smiles, he shakes hands with other believers, but he really doesn't care. He sings the church songs, he claps his hands when asked, he maybe even raises his hand during worship. And yet all those things just have become mechanical. He can't feel the real touch of the Holy Spirit in his life or in his heart. And in the corner of his mind, he's asking this question. What's wrong with me? Am I really a Christian? Am I really saved? What do I got to do to experience the real touch of God in my life? You know, as I'm explaining that person is not alone. There's a lot of them. There's a lot. There may be thousands or even millions of so-called Christians in the world who are suffering that same illustration. If you feel the same feelings, if you're suffering the same apathy, spiritual problem in your life today, then this message, come on now, this message is for you. Engage today and hear what God has to say. You might be in a Christian home from birth, but it doesn't ensure that you're saved. See, it doesn't ensure that you know Jesus. You might be giving the biggest offering, give tithes, and yet you don't feel the real love of God. And you're starting to think that everything you're doing is just useless. I want to look at Eutychus, the man who went to sleep and fell from the windowsill while Paul was preaching. I think it's real important that we don't have people sitting around in windowsills here. Because obviously there are times that people go to sleep, and I'll be the first to tell you I have been guilty myself. I fought it standing right here. I never dreamed that I'd be there, but I'm my grandpa. I can sleep anywhere. I feel like a horse sometimes. For those of you that don't know, horses sleep standing up. There are times that if I'm not engaged, you can know sleep's on my list. Some of you can identify with that. Some of you wish you could be like that. I understand. But here's the thing. If we're not to a place where we're engaged, then sleep is inevitable. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Is that a little different church than what we experience right now? He talked past noon. That's not the upstairs room, verse 8, where we met, was lighted with many flickering lamps. And as Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep, dropped three stories to his death below. Paul went down, bent over him, took him into his arms, and then said, "Don't worry," to everyone, "he's alive." They all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, ate together, and Paul continued talking then until dawn. And then he left. Meanwhile, the young man was taken home alive and well, and everyone was greatly relieved. Revelations 2, verse 2. Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus, and here's what he says. "I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles but are not. You've discovered they're liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." Ugh. Verse 4. Jesus said, "I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." The church of Ephesus is a picture of Christians today, godly on the outside but empty on the inside. I mean, that's just where we find the church at. The excitement, the fever that we had, it just all dried up. In a lot of places, I've seen this over and over. The excitement, our first love of God that we walked into with, has been forsaken. This same spiritual condition is the condition Eutychus had to be in the windowsill when he fell asleep. He's listening to one of the most gifted, anointed teachers of the Word of God, and he fell asleep. I understand why people fall asleep when I'm teaching. I get that. But Paul wrote half the New Testament. Come on, I mean, this guy, right? And you fell asleep? It was asked of me, and this has been asked more than once. "Doesn't it bother you when my husband falls asleep in church?" And I just say, not a bit. He trusts what I'm saying. He just knows what's going on. I mean, he's already got that area. That's what I make myself believe. Also, it's been said that if you take everyone on any given Sunday in the United States that falls asleep in church and you line them up end to end, they'd be a whole lot more comfortable. That one you got to think about. Tristan, did you get that one? I want you to see the symbolism in this passage. Drowsiness represents apathy. The fall represents the result of apathy. And then the ones who were not apathetic, come on, that were really representing the church and the engagement, they are the ones that restored the apathetic person and got him past the fall into real life. To a real life in God. A lot of points today. The exhausting lateness of the midnight hour. I know that sometimes 11:45 or 11:50, it's tough. So that's just kind of our midnight hour, but maybe it's just in life and it's about Wednesday. And things are just really tough with the way people have been treating me at work, some of the things that's been being said. See, the natural culprit is the midnight hour. Our text right here in Acts 27 kept on talking until about midnight. That's what Paul did. You talk about being a long-winded preacher. Right there, you got one. Until about midnight, he just keeps talking. But aside from Eutychus, do you see that the writer of Acts didn't mention not one person who fell asleep other than him? He's the only one that it mentions. Why other people enjoyed hearing the word of God? Because I'm just telling you, if everybody fell asleep on Sunday morning, I'd just say amen and we go. We would. I'd be done. Nobody wants to hear what's said. But Paul obviously kept talking because he had some people engaged and said, I'm there. Come on, a yes or an amen or a wow or maybe just a nod of a head or maybe at least looking up. Shows me you're engaged. Engage in the word of God. What wouldn't? Someone who's not living an apathetic life wants to hear what God has to say. Now, it's tough because we live in a society that's all entertainment prone. And I understand you're looking for entertainment. That's why I try to kind of bounce around a little bit and move and talk. And every once in a while, tell a joke that's corny, but it doesn't make sense to me. I like this stuff because it keeps people engaged. But here's the thing. You shouldn't have to have a joke to stay engaged. You should have the Spirit of God. And Eutychus is sitting there going, What in the world? Spiritual drowsiness should be transformed to a watchfulness and a perseverance. And we ought to be able to do this easy if we're burning in our love for God. If we're totally engaged. Midnight can be the most dangerous hour. Scripture points it out. At midnight was when the death angel passed through Egypt and killed all the firstborn. It was midnight when the cry was made that woke the sleeping virgins in Matthew, telling them that the bridegroom is here, and there were five ready and five not. Come on, I want to be found ready at the midnight hour. I don't want to be found falling from a window at the midnight hour. Midnight can also mean the halfway point or the start of the morning break. It was midnight when Paul and Silas turned the corner and turned their pain into praise around the midnight hour. It was midnight where it can go either way. It's a decision time for you. Those who are sleeping when they should be watching and praying will be caught by surprise. Don't be caught by surprise. The second thing I want to point out is the satisfying comfort of many lamps or of the light. Light is comfortable. That's why people get scared in the dark. Light's comfortable. I like light. I like flashlights. I like anything that's illuminating what's going on. Because I want to know what's going on. I just kind of want to be a part. There were many lamps, it says in verse 8, in this upstairs room where they were meeting. Lamps provide security and comfort, and they allow us to see. Two thoughts here. There is plenty of light surrounding you, so you should have no excuse. But do you know even in the light you can get comfortable? And you can lose your attention? Those who kind of become content with the comfort of their lamps, the lamp of salvation. And you've heard it. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Come on, let's have a little fun. Now, they may not say it like that, but that's a thought people have. We can't get blind to the unsaved millions that are dying and going to hell. We need to get to a place in our life where we recognize people need Jesus. And you may be the only one representing him, and you can't get lazy in the light. Number three, the window seat. It's an area of compromise. The window seat's an area of compromise. Seated in a window, it says, was a young man named Eutychus. When you're hearing the preaching of the word, the window's not a good place to be. What do you mean? The window is many different things for the Christian. I sat next to the window on a plane. Why? Because I don't like paying attention to everything else. I want to look outside. A window seat, not just in a plane, but in life. A window seat allows your attention to go wherever you want it to. Ooh, come on, that was good. The window is a divided attention area. It allows double-mindedness. The Bible speaks real specific to being double-minded. The window of compromise, the window of an exploring the world, the window of temptation. Those who sit next to the window of compromise continually explore entertainment that the devil don't want you being entertained by. So what we're doing a lot of times is we're just sitting right next to something else that can grab our attention, and then we find ourselves falling into sin. I'm telling you, apathy is destructive, and staying engaged is difficult. An apathetic nature is easy to get to. It's tough to stay focused on God, especially when our mind's continually looking out the window at something else, at something else. I'm so thankful for parents who bring their kids to church, even though the work of hearing the message is very difficult at times. I have heard parents say, well, I don't even feel like I need to come to church. All I do is get up and down and up and down. Yeah, but what you're teaching them is the up and down is not what they're going to experience in life. They're going to experience learning to not get up and down and to sit down and engage in a service. I love that here. You don't have kids out walking all around and doing different things. Now, obviously, they have to go to the restroom every once in a while, but you have kids that stay engaged. Engaged. Why? Because you got a parent that's engaged. The second you get a parent that's not engaged, you just watch that kid. When they don't see it, I'm not talking about you, Jason. Great man of God right there. Take my child out, we'll go to the restroom, and I'm going to walk right back in. See, here's the thing you got to know. That in life, if we're not being the example for our own kids, how are you going to be the example to anybody else? Where are you at? What are you doing? I'm impressed with our parents. But be careful that you don't subject your child so much to the window seat that they start seeing out and they don't see the church anymore. Our goal is to move out of the window seat. So you're getting up and down for a season, but it's not long and they stay there the whole service. Why? Because we're going to engage. Here's my deal. I always love it when you got people who are moving up in church towards the front row. It always concerns me when you got people that are on the front and start moving back. It's a concern of mine. Why? Because I don't want them getting into a window seat mentality. I'm going to start looking at the world. Oh, that looks a little more appealing. Oh, that looks, and then you find the seat empty. And then somebody else starts sitting there and you're like, oh, well, I just really can't be there. So I'm going to sit back a little ways. I get that that happens, but my problem is make sure that it's not a window seat that's leading you into apathy. Stay engaged. Come on, it's quiet in this church. Excellent is not something that people desire to walk in anymore. But I'm telling you, God's calling us to a life of excellence. He's calling our kids to be trained into a life of excellence. No one wants to give more than the minimum requirements in our day and age because there's a window that's open to something other than keeping our mind where it should be. We've got to let excellence become our standard. 99% is not good enough. I'm not good with 99%. I mean, I wrote some things down that I thought, this is probably important. You know, tomorrow, if 99% was good enough, the post office of the United States would lose 4,934,000 pieces of mail. If 99% was good enough, Coca-Cola, over 200,000 products worldwide sold every 10 seconds. If 99% was good enough, over 7 million Coke products would be flat. In that same time, that's a lot of flag soda. I understand some people like it, but I don't. If you're flying, we will lose about 50 planes today in takeoff just at Atlanta's airport. If 99% is good enough. Aren't you glad 99% isn't good enough for some industries? I'm pretty glad. I don't like the 99% deal, and I really don't like it in the Christian life. Come on, I'm 99% a Christian. You got to be 100%. The fourth thing, the lack of spiritual hunger for the word is keeping us from being engaged and we're walking in apathy. Paul talked on and on. And in a natural sense, it could be the length of the message. I get that. But as we really view this closer, the other reason might be spiritual. The Christian life that seems to be dry, lifeless, all we're thinking about is getting out of here, not getting into what's going on here. The heart lost its appetite of hearing the word of God. I pray that you're not one of those that says, I want to get saved, but I don't really want to hear the word of God. Come on, we got a desire and hunger for the word. If we love God, we would desire to hear what he says. How would you like it if your spouse, every time you open your mouth, said, I don't want to hear anything? Now, I know at times they probably need to do that. But if every time you open your mouth, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything. Do you not think that's sometimes how we view God? No, I'm not doing that, but that's exactly what you're doing. I don't want to hear God. I want to get out of here. I'm ready to go do what we're doing this afternoon. God has something to say through his word. Here's the cool part. The falling of Eutychus made other people see his life changed. Can we be the other people that carries a Eutychus back? Come on, the church has got to quit being Eutychus. The church has got to be the other people that said, we brought him home, we got him restored, and everything went good. That's what the church has got to be. And the only way it's going to happen is if we engage. The cause of the falling, deep sleeping, the critical point here of the falling. It was three stories up. Come on, you've been in this service a while. You've been in the things of God for a while. You've been in this. It's more drastic when you fall from maturity than when you fall from... Three stories up. Boy, so many symbolisms here. The result of the falling was what? He died. It's what it says. But the church came and Paul said, wrapped his arms around him. Come on, somebody may need their arms wrapped around him this morning. Can you be a Paul to someone? That wasn't Jesus, that was Paul. Paul wrapped his arms around him. And he looked up and all of a sudden Jesus did a miracle through Paul. And he's alive! I mean, I don't think he just looked up and said, it's okay, he's alive. He's laying there dead. They run down there, wrap their arms around. He's alive! Let's go back up and have the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to preach till morning. And you know, nobody went, huh. I don't think they could do that. It's 11:51, if anybody was wondering. Because I was. And not because I'm asleep, because I want to make sure that I don't lose you being engaged. Here's the thing. At some point, it's got to quit being my responsibility. It's got to be yours. It's got to be yours. It's clearly our mistakes that allow us to fall. It clearly is. But aren't you thankful for the unexplained grace and mercy of God and the Holy Spirit providing some comfort when our toes are stepped on? You know, some of you may be hanging out on the windowsill. Some of you may have already fallen and you're laying there dead. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. Come on, today, would you allow somebody to wrap their arms around you? Don't go out of here defeated. Whatever your situation may be, God's still wanting and willing to give you the second chance, give you a second life. You're still breathing in the natural. Therefore, you can really be revived spiritually. You can. Will you today come to him, repent from your sin of apathy and say, you know what? I'm going to engage. I'm done. This isn't working. It's not too late to repent and be forgiven and move forward. Hearing the admonition from our Lord Jesus in Revelation 2, remember the height from which you have fallen, repent, do the things you did at first, love God and love people. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. You're a light, or are you? I don't want him coming and removing my lampstand. The church cannot lose. Come on, I read the Bible. The church can't lose. It's you saying I'm not associated with it. So don't remove yourself from the church. Is there a spirit of apathy in your life today? Are you indifferent to the needs of others? Are you too busy? I don't know what it is. Are you in an unresolved, conflicted, apathetic Christianity? The time today, church, has come for you to judge yourself before the judge of the universe evaluates and examines you. Well, that's pretty scary. It ought to be a little concerning. Why? Because we said we signed up for this. Now, if you say, I don't want anything to do with that, that's a whole different story. But you, by coming to church today, said, I'm in. My question is, are you? Are you engaged, or you just can't wait to get out? See, the time is coming very quickly for Jesus to return. Will he know you? When he sees you, or will he say, hey, lampstand, depart from me. I know you. You'd sit here trying to hold a lamp. Will he say, thank you for taking care of the church? Thank you for helping restore the church back to a healthy state of mind. Come on. What will he say to you? I don't know. But my encouragement to you today is for you to make a decision. For churches across this country, for those that are listening to this on podcast, to say, you know what? Apathy's not for me. I'm going to engage.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.